This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, it is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Monday, the week of July 4th. Nation's independence celebration, fireworks all coming up this week, hot dogs on the grill, Johnny, you know, all those great things. I mean, you know, some people like that, steaks, hamburgers.
I'll throw the tube steaks on the grill, man. I'm sure people are coming. I'm going to be throwing a whole variety of things.
All right.
Well, you know, it's cookout time. It's basically all week long. Well, starting Wednesday, I'll start kicking into it, and then you know, Thursday and Friday, we're going to be like, grilling.
Man, he's cooking out every day this week. Man, I'm coming over. Holy crap. Okay, but you're going to wait till Wednesday to at least start.
Probably to start.
We got some things. I should throw in there. I got some good veggie burgers. I got a couple of my own children who have, you know, gone the vegetarian. One's gone vegetarian. One's gone vegan. Ooh. So, that makes sometimes planning a family dinner a bit of you know what, we got a little bit of this over here, we got a little bit of that over there, and for all of those, you know, hey, but it, yeah, happy, you know, happy fourth week, Johnny. One of the things to remind people, where do you get Busted Pencils? Well, go to Civic Media, to the website. More importantly though, too, Johnny, the Civic Media app, I feel like we haven't reminded people enough about how important it is to download the Civic Media app, whether you're on an iPhone, whether you're on an Android type of phone, you can get it. Download the Civic Media app. And with that, you can always have Busted Pencils and all of the other great shows that go along with Civic Media. They're all right there, right in your phone. You can listen all the time. And we said, just like our friends in Finland, they listen on the Civic Media app to Busted Pencils. So that's the reality of how awesome the Civic Media app is. Johnny, I know you have, what, at least two or three different Civic Media apps across all those phones.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I ask my smart speaker all the time to, you know, send Civic Media stuff over the Bluetooth. Let's go. Let's listen to all these shows. Keep me up on, like, what's happening in the politics of our country. But also, you know, what's happening over Wisconsin, where so many of our listeners are. Hey, listeners, if you can, subscribe to the Civic Media Weekly Digest to keep up with your local Wisconsin news and all of our fantastic shows on the Civic Media Radio Network. So go to civicmedia.us/email. Never miss a beat. Hey, and while you're on that grind, get over to the Civic Media website, check out their merch store by going to civicmedia.us and clicking store in the top right corner. Mm. We love radio. We know you do too. Show that love and look great while you're doing it in a hat or one of the six designs supporting refreshing hometown radio. And in fact, Tim, you can go and check out Busted Pencil specific merch, right? What we're going to do for you listeners, we're going to drop that link in the description of the podcast that drops right after the show. But Tim, it's Monday. You know, picking right up where we left off last week, Friday, you know, but before we jump into, you know, still reeling on the heels of the debate, talking about what's happening in this country, how it's related to education, but also some things that are kind of growing out of education. You know, this, you brought it up Friday and it's carried heavily through the weekend, this push from Christian nationalists, right, to really make state legislation. And now, you know, I'm always saying, Tim, don't worry about this now. I mean,
I know
the national election, but when it comes to education, remember, education is a state right. Well, we'd be remiss if we didn't come back around to what we were talking about on Friday today and get back into what's happening in Oklahoma, what's happening in Louisiana, what's happening in Texas. Because even though, you know, I'm going to say, hey, education is a state right, and there are lots of states who are pushing back against that fundamentalist takeover. But you know what? If it's happening in a nearby state, it's likely to trickle. And I've said before on past shows, you know, we have a long legacy of testing the boundaries in some of these states and then pushing out from there. And I share some of your concerns, Tim, that you brought up at the end of last week with this sort of Christian nationalism that's being imposed on our public schools. And that's not Tim and Johnny be an anti-Christianity or anti-religion. But we're going to get into it tonight. But before we get into it, Tim, you know, just how are you doing, man? It's the beginning of the week. What's going on, man?
I am actually doing incredibly well today. The heat dome over my area in Ohio has lifted and went out hiking this morning. 60 degrees in the morning for a hike. Beautiful out there. I was like, this is the way it is. What a day to start a Monday. Boy, I just see Sherry, man. She's just dropping in a whole bunch of text messages. Sherry, we love you. Sherry from Horicon out there. Oh yeah, we're gonna talk about that King and Johnny. We need a civics lesson. You know, I was thinking though, one of the best places you can get your awesome, like, kind of civics lesson with friends, if you're in Madison, you go to the Madison Minocqua Brewery, Madison Tap Room. You can go there. Or, Johnny, as you always keep pointing out now, too, if you happen to be all the way up in the North Country, go to the Minocqua Brewery right there on site. You know why? Because Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company. Yeah, you know what? They are an awesome company. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And Johnny, am I just looking at that right away? LA Tom has jumped on the line before what? We've let's even get, really
started. Come on, my guy. Let's get him
we
on.
Haven't let's, even started. Let's bring him on. Yeah.
Let's set the tone. Set the tone, LA Tom. Set the tone. What's happening, my man?
Well, first off, guys, you know, you're right. You can listen to the Civic Media app everywhere in the world. From Wisconsin, small town, 2,000 people. And, you know, I'm in L.A. I've lived here for years, and I listen to the Civic Media every single day. And I love the actual factualness of the radio station and everything that it brings in terms of conversation to people, and actually shows a lot of sunlight, which is the best disinfectant for what's going on in this country. I really wish that we could start calling these people anti-Christian nationalists, because they have nothing to do with the word Christian nationalist. And I think that, you know, I feel like they're taking the Lord thy God's name in vain. Number three there on the old commandments, because they're using Jesus' name in a way that he never really professed to be. If you read Matthew 15 and you read some of the different things where Christ actually talked, these guys are anti-Christian nationalists is what they are. They're anti-Christ. That being said, you know, there should be a separation between church and state. It's the bottom line. It's secular. That was the whole point of our country. And today's Supreme Court goes and makes our presidents kings. And I wanted to ask, can Joe Biden actually now go and, I guess, make an executive action to put on, since we have 13 circuit courts around the United States, put 13 Supreme Court justices on the court right now?
Well, is it his official act? I mean, boy, L.A. Tom, thank you for the call right away and hitting everything we plan on talking about tonight. Yeah, the Supreme Court ruling Christian nationalism or anti-Christian. I know, Tom, it's all there. The question, though, you know, so what does this then imply for the current president, Johnny Lupinacci, President Biden? Does this give the current president the ability to think creatively about what his duties are in office and how he can execute them, and how he might say, hey, look, it was part of my job, man. That's what I had to do. I know I've been seeing a lot of speculation out there saying, what do these rulings actually mean? And Johnny, we are looking forward to actually really getting hard into that spot, you know, particularly about that Christian nationalism, though, Tom. Thank you. I think on that one, we really need to talk about, you said separation of church and state. Johnny kind of let us in on this one to be talking about this. Where are we going to come down on this? Because education, public education, is very specifically left to the states to decide in their state constitutions. And so what we're seeing coming out of Texas, what we're seeing coming out of Louisiana, coming out of Oklahoma, these are state actions. And Johnny, we're kind of putting this forward here to kind of tease about going, so if a state takes the action on a public education issue, is that constitutional? Maybe is the first kind of generic question that we're putting out to everybody tonight, listeners, 855-752-4842. So yeah, you know, but just putting out there too. And yeah, just in case anybody missed it, Busted Pencils is sponsored by Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end that crazy voucher system. Check it out, though. You always like to give Minocqua a little bit of heads up, a little bit of extra room there. They absolutely are making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Johnny, but that is the question I think we frame here coming into this. You know, we talked about it last week, Christian nationalism, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, because these are state-driven, I don't know, you say policies or, you know, you must do commandments. I don't know if they're commandments, but because the state has originated these policies, do they have a constitutional leg to stand on in our public schools? I don't know, Johnny. I know we're coming up on the break here, but, you know, give you a last little bit here to take us into the break. What do you, are you pushing forward the idea? And I say pushing, aren't you putting forward the idea that maybe this is a state issue?
I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that education is a state right. That's how it currently exists. That's how I want to remain. I think it will continue to be state to state. However, Tim, I think some of these, you know, states belong to a country. And so some of these may have cases that kick all the way up to the state Supreme Court, maybe even hit the national Supreme Court. We certainly can expect to see that in instances where we have like a mandate to include the Ten Commandments in a classroom, or that the Bible is a history book. I mean, these are things that I don't think will make it past the state Supreme Court, but should they, they'll go to the Supreme Court at a national level. I believe in that system. I think it's a good system. You know what, though, Tim? Let's get into the details, because someone might be tuning in that didn't hear us last week, so we'll give you a refresh, and we'll get into this when we come back. Busted Pencils.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, and talking Civil War, Gettysburg, civic media. Trivia question, though, what happened July 3rd, 1863, the Battle of Gettysburg, something specific? Kind of held it off, didn't give any answers during the break. So anybody who has had the luxury of watching us on video through the Facebook, through the X, Twitter, through the YouTube, I did not give out the answer. So it's still out there. We're holding it because Johnny said he didn't want to know the answer yet. Now I'm worried about the potential that this might be, you know, a lot of buildup with, really? That's it? We will see. The, for me, my fifth graders, when we went out there, this was a huge part of the field trip that we did, that this is very specific about.
That's what I was thinking. I would love for one of your former students to call in with the answer.
Yeah, that would be great.
This is something that you learned on horseback on this. I'm just trying to remember, like, imagine Gettysburg horseback camp, and this is awesome, man. So
I will tell you that for this part you actually get off of your horse, so that the students get to really experience potentially what happened that day, and it wasn't on horseback.
I'm now even more curious.
I want to see photos of this too. You got photos laying around of these trips.
Let's get it. Hey, but we got a caller.
Right?
A caller calling in. So let's give it a go, if that's okay. Can we give it a go?
Sure, man.
Calling in.
Hey, Sherry, what's going on?
Hey, I think I got it right this time. I think it's President Lincoln's inaugural address, because he was the president during that.
You are right. He was the president. It was not his inaugural address, though. The inaugural address happened in 1865. Going into there, the Civil War had ended. He was about to begin his second term and gave the inaugural address. That was not what happened on July 3rd, 1863 at the Battle of Gettysburg. I can't give any more hints.
I thought they were fighting on July 3rd. So, I mean, I'm excited. I'm ready to learn pretty soon. We got to give it. I think we extend this. We let callers, if any caller wants to get in, like, Johnny doesn't have it. Sherry didn't get it, but we're close. We're narrowing in, right? So Tim, let's see if any other callers want to call in and give it a shot, because maybe they know. But I have a feeling this is insider stuff, and this is why it's so cool when teachers do those kinds of things. Like they go with their students on location to important places, you know, that are semi-local, especially to those students, because that's unique to where they're learning, where they're growing up, where they're developing, you know, their core memories, but also their knowledge base that they're going to take off to them around the world and where they live, and like how you bumped into your student and she brought this up. I love that you're sharing this. I also want to throw out there, hey, if you're a teacher out there listening, you've got an example of this kind of thing, like Tim is talking about when they went to Gettysburg as a class and camped and rode around on horses through the battlefield. I mean, how cool was your class, Tim?
Johnny, do you got a memorable field trip that you did, that you took kids on?
I mean, yes, I took it. I was going to say, dear Joanna, I wasn't allowed on very many field trips.
Oh, okay. So, as a student?
As a student.
Yeah, not as a student. And as a teacher, we did some amazing visits to Washington, D.C. My favorite was to Atlanta. We would go every year to protest the School of the Americas. And so that would be outside Atlanta. And then we would go to Atlanta and we'd go to the MLK Center in Atlanta. We just had a really great trip to Atlanta all the time. We'd go to D.C. Those were always very memorable as a teacher. But unique little tidbit that a lot of folks didn't know is for a while, I also worked in a travel school program where we traveled around and did credit recovery kind of stuff by doing camping and backpacking and rafting and stuff. And so that always was memorable, like teaching democracy when there are about 14 of you and you're living, you know, for several days in the backcountry. Doesn't get any better, because you can be like, well, we're going to run this democratically. Here's what that's like. So those are really memorable, like school years for me.
Teacher Joanna, how about you?
Oh, well, I am one to do field trips, which you are right, though, that it's something that's really dwindled. And but I think, you know, I've done the horseback riding, but not at Gettysburg. I've taken kids horseback riding. You used to be able to take them like canoe, kayaking. You can't do that anymore. You can't do anything with water. We've done zip lining. And then we've done a ton of things really within the city, because in the past couple years, we're really limited transportation wise. Like, you couldn't get buses. So now you really can only do a field trip between 9:30 and 1:30. You cannot be picked up earlier than 9:30, and you cannot get picked up later than 1:30. So that leaves you to exploring places within the city. Thankfully, I live in the city of Milwaukee, and there are a lot of really cool things to do here. But those long, you know, going away and all of that, we've really been limited by availability and cost.
The cost. And then Teacher Joanne, I was wondering though too, like if we could loop this into the topic we're actually trying to cover today. You know, when you say used to but can't anymore, and we know there are reasons, the decision making to make these ideas, these plans to quote go on field trips, to expand the classroom, as you would say, you know, to really give students an opportunity to dig deep, to practice democracy, like Johnny was saying, you know, when you had that vision and thought, I want to do this, I was thinking about this from a decision making. You know what it was? It was, I kind of walked down to the principal's office and said, hey, I didn't even think I asked. I think I said, hey, we're going to Gettysburg. What do I need to do so that I follow all the rules? But man, that is not the way it happens today when it comes for all those things. So that decision-making, the kind of idea to expand the classroom, you know, we're teaching fifth grade. We're living right there in Eastern Pennsylvania, right outside of the Gettysburg, the town, and making that decision seemed like at the time, well, sounds like a great decision. Who would be against it? Okay, we got Don from Mount Horeb with a potential answer.
Oh, right. I love it. I love it.
Let's okay, let's get him in before the break. Don, what do you think's happening?
Come on, Don.
Well, tickets charged happen on July 3rd, but I don't know if that's exactly what you're looking for.
Don, ding, 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 ding. You got it, man. Tickets charge happened on July 3rd. Johnny Lupinacci's got the look of going, what the heck was Pickett's charge?
Right. Yeah,
no. Teacher Joanna, the same thing. All right, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Don, let's get your address. I want to mail you a T-shirt. And when we get back, the significance of a Pickett's charge and locus of control, who makes these decisions and why. Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break. Oh, man, how many walls, how many guns, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Yeah, that quick break there. Sorry about that, everybody. Got a little bit, you know, mixed up in the timing there, but all is well. Tim and Johnny are back. Jess has got the command center there working very, very, very perfectly,
well,
Jess.
Tim. Tim, you know, I'm like a bull in a china shop. So I got going, you know, and I was rambling and rambling and rambling. And you know what happens? I rambled right into, you know, I rambled right into the break. So sorry about that, listener. We'll smooth it out for you. We owe you. We owe you. We owe you. But we'll get it back around. But Tim, where we were going, man, was we were going into this thing. You were talking more about what's happening in these states where there's a rise in Christian nationalism. You know, there's a concerted effort to push that there ought to be one belief system in schools. And you know, we're both adamantly against this. I'm probably a little bit more gray area and saying like, yeah, there's a lot of belief systems. I would love it if kids learned world religions or, you know, came together. We heard on the Friday show, I went on a long rant that was about human rights, right? And children's rights. And the right to belief systems and diverse belief systems in school. I think that's a beautiful thing. I'm not even against teachers or schools saying, hey, there's these things that Christians have, 10 commandments. They follow them. It's part of their belief system. There are other rules and laws and life lessons that help guide community of people around the world. Here's a few different ones. Let's learn. Let's have our own classroom, you know, constitutions and principles that we live by. So I really like those things as part of a diverse education, but boy, do I get really, really concerned when we start talking about forcibly having one way and positioning that as the one best way or the correct way or the right way for all children. I think that's a huge problem, and that's what's happening in some states in this country, Tim. So get us back to that, man.
Boy, did I threw you a curveball, man. I stunned you. I threw you a stunner. I don't know. So Tim is frozen. This is listener, we owe you because Tim, I threw him a stunner and it froze him up. And I think I'm still here with Jess live. But Tim, what we were talking about is we were going hard on, you know, these states and their concerted effort to push one best way. So, Tim, I'm going to throw it back to you and hopefully
it back. You didn't stun me. I stunned myself on that one. Man, I guess tonight's just a little bit of a, you know, glitchy night. I hit my mute
number
button.
Number one stunner.
I hit my mute button.
Tim's the number one stunner.
But, hey, so, you know, very specifically, though, the state mandate here on this Christian nationalism is what really is pushing me to go, whoa, wait a minute. Because we remember in Oklahoma, you got the Department of Public Instruction superintendent saying Bibles everywhere. In Louisiana, Ten Commandments. In Texas, Texas is literally paying school districts $60 a kid if they adopt the Christian-oriented curriculum in place there. So you've got three different states, and they're using, Johnny, the state right of having education be, you know, the state's constitution. But see, to me, it's what they're doing, exactly what you're saying, though. It's a religion. It's a specific religion, Christian nationalism. And if you start looking at it, too, this isn't about teaching a diversity of religious beliefs, of which you and I have constantly said we are absolutely in favor of. In fact, religion is probably one of the most interesting topics that you can get into in schools, and more students and more families would benefit from having lots of religious pluralistic understandings and ways to make sense of this. But here we have the state using the state power to absolutely prioritize a religion, a Christian religion, a form of a Christian religion that really is starting to sound more and more, not even sound, it looks like Christian nationalism. And Johnny, that is a creep that is, when I say creep, creeping towards us, that is now no longer creeping. It's actually making its way pretty fast and forward to us and saying, hey, Christian nationalism, it's what we want. It's what we want in public schools. And in fact, just to put a little bit more, the story today went a little bit further. In Louisiana, the governor that pushed this said, hey, I did this so that they would sue me, because he wants to be sued by those people that are saying this is an infringement of the establishment clause that says you cannot have a state indoctrinating or mandating a religion. He says, hey, bring it on. Bring it on. I don't know, man. I don't think
You sent me a text today that was an article, and I want our listeners to know we're referencing a lot here. We're bringing in trending topics in education. Our producer, Jess, is hot on it. Those links, all the things Tim and I are mentioning, they're going to be in the podcast notes. So, you know, you loop back around later, give a re-listen, and grab those, or just grab the links and you can get that. But Tim sent me a text today, and you know what?
Oh, there it is, Johnny. We got to wait on that text, though, because, man, when you hear that bell, you know what that is. It's our time. Democracy in action, trending news. We can hit it, Johnny. I saw today probably one of the most awesome examples of democracy in action. Guess what? There are Republicans in some states that have decided to go against the voucher push. Tennessee and Texas rural Republicans have thwarted the push to to mandate vouchers be a part of their state, and they've said, "Wait a minute, we can't do that. We are defending the institution of public education." And we are not voting in favor of vouchers. And they stopped vouchers in Tennessee. They stopped vouchers in Texas. And Johnny, this truly is democracy in action, because the consequences that these legislators are now facing, all of them are being primaried by strong right-wing DeVos billionaires that have said, hey, you voted for democracy. You voted for the people. You voted for the public schools. we're taking you out. Truly an example of democracy in action to me, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I love it, Tim. I love it when anytime any elected official, remember, you're elected in theory, you're elected by the majority to represent the interests of whatever that group or location is, right? And so, you know, those people, whether it's party line or not, right? Those folks who went against the grain of the party line right now, I think that always, Tim, is democracy in action. When you're representing, decisions ought to be made by those directly impacted by the decision. And those people in the Republican Party that said no. And Tim, when I was, you know, out sometime around the 12th hole today, I was reading that text you sent me that. I said, you know, good. This ought to be how it is, right? Mm-hmm. Regardless of your party, when the decision comes across your table, you say to yourself, how does this impact, right? Who benefits and who suffers? Are the people, you know, under my jurisdiction or my, you know, region that I'm elected to represent, are they hurt by this? They mm-hmm. are. I can't support it. So I, you know, as much as I cringe, because, you know, I'm not too happy with the Democrats right now, but I'm rarely happy with, rarely am I aligned with Republicans. And man, I was like, you know what, this is good. And the image in my head, Tim, I got to share it. You know, I'm always like the Republicans, the elephants and the donkeys, the Democrats. I love the animal imagery of this. But I pictured, you know, an elephant going over, you know, I pictured, you know, the Louisiana guy saying, I do want this. I want you to challenge me. And the elephant went over and with its trunk pulled up a whole trunk full of water and just hosed that dude down. Just hosed him down. Says, not today.
Not in my
legislative area. No way, sir. Sit back down and walk away wet on this one.
Well, and that's what he say. You know, it is democracy. Defenders of democracy, Johnny Lupinacci, you put that out there, defending the institution of public education and doing their job, which is to represent their people, not the party. So it's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number is 855-752-4842. You can give us a call. L.A. Tom reminding us on the text, too. It's anti-Christian nationalism, L.A. Tom reminding us there. Yes, absolutely. But, Johnny, you know, so these Republicans in these rural districts then have provided a role model for me for other Republicans in other rural districts. And, you know, just to give a little quick lesson of going, like, why are the Republicans in rural areas putting up resistance to vouchers? Well, it's very simple. There aren't choice options in the rural districts, and people know that in the rural areas, the public schools are the centers of their communities, are the center of engagement. Everything rallies around that. And so to vote in favor of vouchers would be actually sending money that goes to supporting their local public schools out of their districts that actually harms their local public schools. People have listened to me, have heard me say this all the time. And in fact, it decimates, potentially takes out Friday night football, the prom, the marching band, all of those events that people have come and have gotten used to and, in fact, value in their community. That's because of their public schools. And so in those rural areas, voting in favor of public schools is voting in favor of your constituents. And, man, that's just what you're supposed to do when you're elected to office, is represent the people who elected you, not represent the party and the money that's trying to influence. And as you said, Johnny, do harm to your constituents. How is it possible? Well, and it said, though, it is coming with consequences, because it looks like every one of these Republican legislators are now going to be primaried with supporters that are actually then going to then gather around all of that big dark money, DeVos money coming in to put together candidates. So, but at least for now. So think about that. It's an example defending that institution of public education. That's what they're. But Johnny, question here, though, too. In these districts where you are a public school value in a small rural district, we have seen in places like Wisconsin, a lot of the Wisconsin rural areas have voted in favor of vouchers. How do the people respond in those small rural districts who see the attack on public education? Is it to simply just say, do your civic duty and call your legislator? I mean, how do we help mobilize voters? Because to me, you're not a Republican, you're not a Democrat, you're a voter, you're a citizen, you're a community member. And they're thinking right now, hey, Friday night football in the fall, I'm looking forward to it. I don't want to lose it. How do we inspire them?
Well, Tim, I think it's simple. And as simple as it is, it's also a large task. And what we're asking, and we should be able to trust more media, but what we have to be able to do is we have to be able to find good information. We have to go out there. Individuals have to go out and say, what are my interests? It's the local economy. It's like you're saying, Friday night football, it's our public schools. It might be something else that's a state institution that's local economy. It might be, a government. It might be a military base in a rural town. That's mm-hmm. a big one. I know in other states, and these things that are publicly funded, that it hurts the economy when they're defunded or they're privatized, right? It drives wages down. It really hurts the working people. So it's getting good information. It's gathering that good information. And it's saying, what are my priorities? What are my institutions that I'm going to be a patriot and be a defender of? And if you're a defender of public education, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, you got to find the facts. You know, Tim, I'm biased. We have those facts here mm-hmm. at Busted Pencils. You know, I'm lucky to be able to listen to civic media to get good information about the facts that concern my local community so that I can make an informed decision. And that's a really important one. Hey, Tim, we got one more segment. When we come back, callers, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Busted Pencils when we get back.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, educators amplified in the house. Teacher Joanna, the number is 855-752-4842. July 3rd, day before the 4th. History lesson for everybody listening to the first parts of the show. Pickett's Charge happened on this day, July 3rd, 1863. And at that point, Pickett was repelled. The Union was saved. General Robert E. Lee retreated back to the South. Civil War ended in April 1865 with a victory, and we have a single country now. But we've got Teacher Joanna here. Joanna, you were talking about, you know, this just the overwhelming amount of, I want to say, like, minutia and garbage required to be done before you can actually get to the reality of teaching, is the way I heard you describing that. Is just like, I want to start teaching, I'm working with this, but you know, you're talking about the chaplain, like, going, you know, gotta pray, scripts and all this, and we keep hearing about this. In fact, we've had conversations about the big movement of high quality instructional materials, which typically, when you look at them, are scripts that and in fact, mm-hmm. you hear principals or instructional leaders, as they try to refer to themselves, saying you need to follow this script with fidelity. And I'm thinking, that sounds absolutely nothing like a teacher exercising professional autonomy and decision-making the way you were talking.
Well, yeah. And well, you're right. And I like the language you used. but it's something really serious when we think about, I don't know how aware your audience is or not, about the fact that, right, we don't have a lot of people desiring to go into teaching mm-hmm. any longer. And that's part of it. Like, I think if it was me now, I might view it differently. And they definitely come in and they're disappointed. You know, like I said, I work with groups of newer educators, and they're like, why did I have to share like who I really am and what I'm about? Why do I have to tell them that I'm totally into the Civil War if once I show up in my classroom, I can't use any of that? Why, you know, and so that's disappointing. Like you go into it, you know, you do go into it, right? My son's girlfriend is looking for her first teaching job, and I'm hoping she gets it in enough time that she can spend the summer dreaming, right? Like you picture yourself in this space. You think about what you're going to bring in and how it's going to look and what you're going to do. And so that's part of it, right? And then when you get there and it's like, oh, I can't. That's really deflating, right? And it's just like, oh, you just want me to like, And I think that's a part of the story with the teaching exodus that's not being told, right? That has a lot to do with it. And so then you have people maybe like myself or mid-career who, you know, navigate through it, but it's kind of at your own risk. Or, you know, how you said you went to your principal and was like, hey, I want to go do this thing. And you were supported, right?
Right.
Now, when people go do that, they're like, is there a way we can make sure that it fits? Because I don't know if that's not really in line with the curriculum, you know, that they make.
We got some VR goggles on a cart. Can you just put them on the kids? And
yes! An
app they can go to Gettysburg and do that same thing with the VR goggles.
Yeah. And there's plenty of people who do actually like get denied.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you get denied with wanting to take students out on outings. And so, yeah, I don't know if I'm always just sounding like Debbie Downer, but Educators Amplified is more about just telling the reality, you know, saying that, yes. You know, and I used to share that with my students a lot. I'd be like, hey, guys, because they would be in high school. They don't go on many field trips. And so we would. And I would talk with them, though, about how, you know, the school doesn't make it easy for us to do this. So I would actually kind of say that to get more of their buy-in and their full cooperation. You know what I mean? Being like, hey, yo. Right. Yeah. Being like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Saying like, this isn't an easy thing to do. So if we're going to put in the work, if we're going to put in the time, the effort, find the money, we all got to really want to do this. We all got to really be cool and good to each other about it. Because yeah, it's not as easy. And yet as an educator, I know how meaningful, important experiential learning is, and that going out into your community and learning from the other experts and understanding your history and all of that is so it's learning. It's how children learn. Right. And so, your professionals out here know that those experiences matter and are frustrated when they can't build them in.
Well, yeah. And I think about it too, you know, what Tim shared and we were talking about it, you know, lightly, but that the importance of that autonomy or that creativity. Teaching is an art. It's a craft, right? It's knowing your learners, but also knowing what they can get excited about and how to connect that to content in meaningful ways. And that teacher Joanna does it differently than, you know, teacher Tim, then teacher Johnny and teacher Hallie. Like they can all do that at high quality and do it differently. But we worry, and more than worry, we speak truth to power, like Joanna just shared right there, telling the reality, sharing the stories, that far too often teacher creativity is seen as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely stifling. I mean, for any creative out there to be, you know, there are some boundaries, but within those boundaries, that creativity.
It's stifling to the professional and it's lame to the kids. They can see it. They can feel it. There's a very different feeling. There's different energy coming off and different engagement from my teacher, the reenactor, versus the teacher who's going through slides about, you know, the charge of whatever.
Pickett's charge.
And so it's such a vital in part of learning is that bringing the realness. I mean, I am fully myself. I think it took 10 years for me to become fully myself in my craft. And then things really just took off.
What a show tonight, Tim, Joanna, thank you. Monaco Brewing Company, thanks for sponsoring Busted Pencils. You know, if you're out there in Madison or if you're anywhere, you can go online. right? And you can support Minocqua Brewing Company. You can get any Minocqua brews that you desire at minocquabrewingcompany.com. See where you can buy Progressive beer. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Teacher Joanna, Dr. Tim, it's great to be with you here on this Wednesday. Both of you have a happy 4th. Listener, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Happy 4th, everybody.